I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in.
All right. So today we're diving into something that every business owner has to figure out at some point, and that's how to build a team that really works. Our guest is Laura Woodard, the founder and CEO of Grassroots Medical Marketing based out of Tampa, Florida. Now, Laura isn't just another marketing expert. She's known as the medical marketing maven, and she's built a reputation for helping private medical practices not only grow, but actually connect with the right patients through smart, strategic marketing. But what we're talking about today isn't SEO or ads or anything like that. We're getting into the people side of her business, how she hires, how she builds culture, how she leads her team, and the systems that support it all. Her background is fascinating. She started in tech and design, but her journey into healthcare and marketing was deeply personal. After navigating her own family's medical challenges, she realized just how disconnected some amazing doctors were from the digital world and decided to change that. So what really stands out is the way Laura leads with empathy and purpose and how that shows up in her company culture, her hiring decisions, and even her HR processes. So if you're building a team right now or thinking about how to better lead the one you've got, this episode is full of lessons, honesty, and some refreshing perspectives. So let's get into it. Laura, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's my pleasure to be here.
So when you first started Grassroots, how did you approach hiring? Was it like a figure it out as you go situation, or did you have a plan from day one?
So I originally wanted to just start and grow slowly. But then as I started to add on clients, I knew I had worked with several people in the past, and they happened, well, one of them happened to become available. And so I follow, I don't know if you know who Seth Godin is, but he's like a marketing guru, and anybody in marketing follows him. And one of his tenets is that he wants to work with someone before he works with them. And so I happened to work with Alicia Boyd, who is my director of marketing. I worked with her in another capacity with another company, and I just knew she was very inquisitive. She was responsible. She did what she said she was going to do. She went over and above. And so when I needed that position, I contacted her and she said, well, it just so happens that I'm available right now. And so I snapped her right up.
I think that's a really good thing to bring up is some situations are circumstantial, right? That was actually my first hire as well. I wasn't really looking per se, but I had somebody who I had worked with in the past, not in the same organization, but kind of adjacent to that I really had a high opinion of. We had always kind of rubbed shoulders, never really worked in any of the same projects or anything together, but same situation. Like when it came time to say, hey, like, are you hiring for this? And I said, you know, I could be. And when you have the right person, sometimes that's the way to go. So what's your biggest challenge, though, when it comes to HR? How have you learned to kind of work through that? Because sometimes picking the right people can be great, but we don't always do that the first time.
Well, I've done a lot of hiring in my past lives. So I was taught originally when I worked in high tech, specific questions to ask scenarios, not just to go through the person's profile and their resume, but to ask scenarios, how did this work out? Tell me about a time when, and actually have them tell me a story. And that's very enlightening. It always shows you how their thinking process works. And I have found that to be very helpful in hiring.
Absolutely. Situational interviewing, talking about how you worked through this or that, you really do kind of get to know. Because sometimes you have a great person who is probably very qualified for the position that you have, but may not be the right fit. So how they process through something or how they approach something, you know, is a really great way to identify that. And you work with healthcare providers. What unique HR issues do you see showing up in their practices that most people outside the industry might not realize?
Well, I think one thing that I have found in our company is there are a lot of HIPAA regulations. So you have to treat personal information with a high priority. You can't utilize it. You can't even put tracking information on a doctor's website. And a lot of the doctors don't really know the rules around HIPAA and advertising. It's really interesting because one of the things that I have in my company is I have everybody take courses on HIPAA training. And there's no one course that the government gives or that's sanctioned that if you take it, that provides you with the information you need. And there's a lot of gray areas in it. And so we have found that not only for our business, but also for doctor's offices, that a lot of people aren't aware of the HIPAA regulations in regards to marketing. And so that's something that really has to be a high priority.
Yeah, I never really thought about that. I have worked in the medical industry. I was probably over a decade ago, but even then, everyone was switching over to the electronic medical records and switching over all of their systems and everything to that. And that was a really big focus on making sure it's compliant and all that kind of stuff. But I never really thought about that with marketing. That's great. And I want to kind of switch gears because a lot of what you do in your marketing has to do with empathy. You talked about that being a key part of your leadership. How does that actually play a role in what you guys do? So, I mean, obviously you have to start with the people that you hire, even onboarding them, managing them to be able to deliver the products that you offer in the way that you want to offer it. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, I started this company because I was helping my mother and my aunt at their end of life, and they would have a primary care physician say, well, you really need to get a specialist, and here are a couple of recommendations that I have. And then I would go online and try to find information about the doctors that the primary care would recommend, and then I would ask my friends, and it shocked me. I knew that these doctors had, you know, spent years of education becoming specialists, but their profiles didn't really show that. And then, so I didn't really know, am I making the right choice? It was very emotional going through that. And then also, some doctors have very few reviews. And some doctors have a lot of reviews, but they have a very low score. And so it just really, as I was starting this company, I thought, you know, the foundational pieces are something that the doctors go to school to take care of their patients, not do marketing. And so I really lead with the fact that I've been through trying to desperately to find great doctors to help my mother and my aunt. And you know, the doctors, I feel empathy for them because they are specialists. They know what they're doing and they're healing patients. Marketing is not the top of their list, but it needs to be because in order for the right patient to find the right doctor, they have to be able to be seen online.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've said this before, even on this podcast, is because it was such a pivotal, like, aha moment for me to understand my role and like what I'm good at and really own that as well. You know, when you're working with people who are very good in a specialized area, it was an OBGYN business owner doctor that said to me, you would never walk into my surgery and tell me what to do. So I will never walk into your office and tell you what to do for this business. And I was like, wow, that's really great perspective. And I think that's really good. Like, that's what you guys bring to the table. Like, hey, guys, like, you need to know about this and you have to do this. Otherwise, you're not going to get paired with your right patients. So let us help you in that. And we'll let you do the doctoring and let us do the marketing. So that's great. And you've worked a lot with different platforms and systems and workflows, all that kind of stuff. How does the right tool make a difference in managing your team as you've grown?
You know, the right tools are critical. And I've worked in other agencies. I've worked in private sector and high tech, a lot of different situations. And, you know, the one thing that we always do is we evaluate technology and determine, does this meet our needs right now? And then once we make a decision on something, we're constantly looking at other options. Could this be a better option? And so we spend a lot of time evaluating and exploring tools for marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think too, onboarding is a really overlooked part, that system, right? So what does onboarding look like at Grassroots? How do you set people up for success from day one? I mean, obviously choosing the right tools and resources and platforms that you use, but also, you know, training or things like that. What other things are you guys doing in onboarding?
So I can't say we do onboarding perfectly, but the one thing that I took away from working in corporate America was I started a job one time and I showed up on my first day. There was nobody there to greet me. It took almost 2 weeks to get a computer. And so I was sitting there. They gave me a lot of reading information and they had professional like onboarding. So I did the like three days of classes. But when I got to my actual department, they were not ready for me. And so yeah. I just try to keep that in mind. And the good thing about my team is we spend time with each other. And it may not always be me and another team member. It's the team members amongst themselves. And we really try to sit down and communicate what's important. We try to communicate our culture because all of us are lifelong learners. You have to be in marketing. You have to have a positive attitude because marketing, things change. Stuff happens and it's like you have to be a problem solver. And so I try to have everyone work with new people that come on board. And then that way they see how everybody approaches things. And my hope is as we continue to grow that we are able to keep that same culture. It's so important.
Yeah. Laura, how big is your team?
So we have 5 people right now.
Okay, great. And culture isn't just about ping pong tables and perks and stuff like that. How do you intentionally build and maintain that culture you just talked about that you want as a leader?
So we do team meetings a lot. So everybody jumps on Zoom. We have office space and I go to it or whoever needs to be in the office space goes there. But most of us work remotely. And I have just found in marketing that it helps you be more efficient to be able to just have that strategic time where you're thinking and planning and executing plans. So you really need that alone time to do that. But we also do lunches. And so we all get together and have lunch together. And it's super exciting to get the whole team together because you learn something about each person each time you have a lunch. And I have one employee who just recently moved to Alabama. And so he's coming back every other month. And so we've all committed when he comes back in town, we're all doing a lunch and getting together and just spending that quality time together.
Yeah, I think that's a good point of it is beyond the workplace and kind of understanding who the person is, because it does help you to work better with your team when you know things that are going on in their life, how they process or think about things, what their perspective is. I think those are all very important things. Can you share one HR decision that maybe you're really proud of or one that you'd do differently if you have a chance, if that comes to mind, or maybe both?
One thing that I'm really proud of is I do have a process. And so most small businesses sort of wing it when they hire new people. And so I go in and I have everything written down so there's no questions at all. And I do a letter and it says, you know, here's the information. Here are the days that we as a company have off and here's the paid time off and just all of the information. I have it all outlined. And I have the person that I'm hiring read through it. We talk about it. And it's really that open line of communication. I had worked at another agency where it was just very informal and it was a quick email. And I just feel like the process of making it more formal and filling out all the paperwork ahead of time, it really makes the day when they come on board impactful because everybody knows what's going on, what their roles are, and I do a 30, 60, and 90-day action plan for them.
I love that. Yes, we do that too in our processes. So that's I think that that's really great. It's amazing what setting clear expectations up front will do to clarify any, you know, I think it just gives people peace of mind. They know is expected. Even if they disagree with it, it's communicated and you can at least have a discussion or open communication about it. So I think that's a very, if you take nothing away from today's conversation, take that.
Yes.
That setting clear expectations really can make or break a working relationship with an employee. And you'd be surprised about things that you think that aren't really that important, just putting pen to paper and defining it for somebody really can make all the difference for you. So, Laura, we ask every guest this at the end of every interview. In your experience, what does it really take to be a business owner, sit in your seat, make the decisions you make, just everything that you have to deal with that's on your plate? What's your perspective on that?
Perspective is the whole team laughs about this because technology is changing so quickly. And even though I've done a lot of high-tech marketing in the past, and I use AI all the time, and you know, I try new tools, technology is not my easy fix on things. So we all laugh and we say I'm going to be like the technical maven instead of the medical marketing maven. Because I think what it takes to be successful is to keep trying new things, new technologies, and to be a lifelong learner. We tried several project management systems in our company, and we just decided we're going to try this, we're going to use it for a while, and if it's working, great. If it's not, then we try something different. And while it does kind of make a little bit of inconsistency for a little bit, it helps us to find the right fit for us. And so I think just trying new technologies and seeing if they work for your team, because they may or may not work for your particular team.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. Lifelong learning. If you have that mindset, I think that that is going to set you up for success in such an important role. Everything changes. Technology changes. People's tastes changes. Needs change. Industries change. And so you've got to be able to learn and grow along with that. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Laura. Such a good conversation. I think what I love most in talking with you, Laura, is how intentional you are, not just about business, but about the people inside it. Building a team isn't about like checking boxes, filling roles. It's really about creating a space where people are aligned. So we talked about set clear expectations, where they're valued. You know, you've got these lunches, times when you kind of can connect with people outside of their everyday job, and then also supportive, regular meetings. Hey, where are you at? Being accountable to all that. I think you really, Laura gets that, guys. So if you're out there growing a team, especially in a service business, I hope this gave you some clarity, some ideas, maybe even permission to slow down and rethink how you're doing it. Huge thank you again, Laura, and your team at Grassroots Medical Marketing in Tampa. If anybody listening wants to find you, get a hold of you, maybe enlist in your services, they like how you approach it, how can they find you?
So you can always find me on LinkedIn and just go to our website. It's grassrootsmedicalmarketing.com.
Okay, great. Yeah. And we can always put that in the show notes as well. So if this episode hit home for you, we'd love it if you would subscribe, leave a review, share it with another business owner who's in the thick of it too. I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is Business Owners Tell All. Thank you so much, Laura, for coming on the show. Until next time.
Thanks, Jamie.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to SeekerSolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at SeekerSolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.